You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call game? I called game.
Gilbert, fade away.
Dagger!
Oh, Wizards win it!
Arenas hits the shot at the buzzer!
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here. I hope you guys had a great weekend and whatnot, and you got to enjoy the extra day. If you did, if you didn't, if you had to work, like some of us did, oh well, deal with it. People sacrifice for all this, so, you know, what are you going to do? Here's the deal. We're going to get back into talking to Wizards. Also going to start our player review series. Today we're going to lead off with the man, the myth, the legend, Otto Porter, because it turns out, one, he's interesting for the Wizards for a whole bunch of reasons, and two, Mr. Bobby Bancroft, the noted Georgetown and scholar, is in the same building as I am today, so we're going to talk about it in just a second. Before we get to that, just a quick reminder, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher. If you subscribe there, you won't miss any of them. We've got a lot coming up this week. I was hesitant to say what guests are coming because you never know what's going to happen, but definitely have some good guests lined up. Hopefully it all works out. Actually, the next couple of weeks.
It'll only get better from here. Because I'm the guest.
Right. That's Bobby. We're starting low. Although there's a guest this week that's going to be even lower than you, so we'll see how that goes. And anyway, so do that. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Wizards, at Ben Standing, and since Bobby was already introduced himself, at Bobby Bancroft. I'm going to also play for you guys some audio from some of these players as we go through these reviews in the podcast. So we'll kick it off with some Otto Porter thoughts from his exit interview day.
Get them all for the team.
What would be your biggest priorities, you know, going into free agency for yourself personally?
I haven't really thought about that yet. Like I said, I'm still trying to get over this game. Like I said, it's going to be a good summer for me.
When do you think you'll be able to allow your mind to think about it? I mean, July is around the corner.
Until then, I guess.
But Otto, do you fully expect to be back here next season?
I don't know. I don't know yet. We have to see.
Is that something that you want?
What's up?
Is that something you want? You want? If you had your choice, was it here the place you want to be?
I love D.C. I mean, this is, I went to school here, you know. Became a big part of, you know, what goes on around here. You know, this is like home for me.
All right, and that was a little bit of Otto Porter from his exit interview the day after. Well, exit interview day when the Wizards met with Scott Brooks and other members of the organization before they headed out the day after they losing Game 7 to the Celtics. We're just getting started, though, talking about that. So Bobby and I are going to go through this here. I decided some of these player reviews may be done in a different format, but for our purposes today, we're going to go with something we use during the regular season, the who, what, where, when, why of it all. Bobby, I definitely appreciate your time. Let me apologize for not stating that up front, that you're such a, you know, you're very loyal and considered to always hop on with us.
It's always a pleasure.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure. All right, so let's get into this. You ready? Let's start with the fun of it, I guess. What, for you, was the 2016-17 highlight for Otto Porter?
I think for most of the season, he led the NBA in three-point shooting, at least a good part of the season. And if you had said coming in that was going to be a thing that he did, I probably would have bet the other way. So, I mean, obviously, from Georgetown, and he never left D.C., being in the Wizards, seeing him progress has been pretty cool thing, but to see him get to that level, I think, is another thing. To be, now that it's a three-point shooting league, and obviously a lot of that's on John Wall and helping him get good shots, but I think the fact that he's worked and put all that time in to become one of the best sharpshooters in the NBA is something that I think is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back to that stretch when the Wizards, from, say, December 1st to the All-Star break, when the Wizards were the best team in the Eastern Conference record-wise,
yeah.
I mean, so much of what was working there, obviously we focused so much on John Wall and Bradley Beal, but it was the whole starting lineup in particular, just all just clicking, and Otto was doing everything. You look back on this one stretch, in back-to-back games, he hit 6 3-pointers. He didn't take 1,000 attempts. He was 6 for 8 against Memphis in a three-point win, 6 for 10 against the Knicks in a three-point win, and a few games later he went 5 for 7 against the Hawks. I know there was a game-winning shot in here, so a relatively game-winning shot, not like the last second, but like in the last minute.
Yeah.
And I'm blanking on which one, so apologies for that. Somebody who's got a better memory than I do will remember that one. But to watch the confidence that he came in with, I think I looked at this at one point, but I forgot to sort of check. But the last half of the after the All-Star break last the previous season, he was a top 10 3-point shooter, and then at the All-Star break this year he was leading the league in 3-point shooting. I never really quite looked to see what his percentage was, sort of in essence over an 82 game or close probably to what an 82 game schedule to look like, but
I was a bit disappointed myself as an Otto guy. Since day one he wasn't in the 3-point contest. I thought that was awfully odd.
You know, it's a name hype thing. I mean, you know, like as much as would you rather have Otto Porter or Nick Young? Otto Porter. But who has a much bigger public persona is definitely Nick Young, who was in the 3-point contest.
Yeah, it made no sense to me.
Well, you know, we'll see. Maybe this year, you know, because he finished top four as part of a Wizards team that was, pretty exciting. I suspect the Wizards are going to get a lot more primetime games this year. So, you know, you put all that together and maybe. But then again, he's on the team with Bradley Beal. So if they're going to take some guy from the Wizards, you almost think it would be Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I almost feel like Bradley Beal's to the point where, like, he might not do something like that. It's more for...
Yeah, I think he would.
You think he still...
Well, I mean, Steph Curry still does that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think Bradley Beal would definitely take it. Any particular Otto quotes that jump out at you as big highlights?
No,
nothing on that front.
Otto, I think, keeps things pretty close to the vest. He's been true to from the beginning. Again, he's very picky with his words, and he doesn't say a whole lot. I don't know if that's on purpose, it's design, but I can't think of a great Otto quote. It's not like Markieff Morris, where you could think of some really good quotes.
Markieff Morris, we would have to make some tough cuts just to get to a top 10.
Yeah.
I guess this is sort of the thing with Otto, because he just doesn't have one of those games where he's just demonstrative out there. I'm sure there is one or two that I'm just blanking on, but it's harder to sort of that definitive moment. But he was just so good over the first 40, 50 games. At the end of the day, the thing that always stands out about him is just he just has such a good feel for the game. And even in those games where he's not scoring a lot, he's doing all those little things. I mean, Scott Brooks definitely is a big fan.
Silent assassin, Otto Porter.
Fair enough. I will say this. I may be the highlight for him this year. I'm going to take when I came up with the nickname OP3. Get it? Because, I'll take. Maybe that's the highlight. It's a humble brag.
Well, maybe if you can start that hashtag going into the All-Star break, he might end up going to the All-Star game.
OP3?
Yeah.
All right, we'll work on that. Yeah. We'll work on that. All right, let's get to the who of it all, as in who is the most interesting person in Otto Porter's life this offseason? I'll give you some choices. Your choices are A, the Wizards coaching staff, whoever that is, if it's, you know, anywhere from Scott Brooks all the way down to, like, David Adkins, who's the practice coach, whoever it is that's going to help him do whatever he's got to do to take next level.
Yeah,
there's that. B, you got his agent David Falk. For those of you who are not aware, Otto Porter is a restricted free agent, meaning the Wizards can, you know, that's his match any offer. But at the same point, David Falk is the one who's going to be running that show. C, anybody in charge with fattening him up? The man is not, you know, he's not exactly robust in size. He's a very, you turn him sideways and it can be a little hard to see him, and he's obviously got I don't know if it's feasible, but he needs to, in theory, put on some more weight. Or so we'll go with those three. A, B, or C, coaching staff, David Falk, whoever's fattening up. Who's the most important person in Otto Porter's life this offseason?
Well, I don't think he's going to all of a sudden change his body type at his age, so I'm going to go ahead and eliminate that real quick. I think it's the David Falk and who is involved with that. I mean, even, you know, you didn't mention JT3, who I know came to a playoff game, and I think he did really well that game, sort of the Roy Hibbert effect. I think it's David Falk in that, you know, what is Otto's value? Should he go to a lesser team and try and be the guy? Should he stay here? And, you know, I think this is a great situation for him playing with John Wall. Anyone's going to, you know, just like we saw Bogdanovich show up and all of a sudden he was hitting threes from everywhere too. I think Otto has got a home here since he was 18. This is a place he should stay. So I think working with David Falk and getting the most money and everything that's best for Otto obviously is what he needs to do. But I think it's important he stays where he fits and he fits here. So I think it's David Falk. And like I said, JT3 is an extension just because that's that David Falk gets all the Georgetown guys and there's that whole relationship and all that stuff. So I feel like that's where some of the wisdom comes from.
You know, the idea of the coaching staff, obviously, you know, any player, no matter who it is, even if it's LeBron James, you know, every offseason you're trying to work on something, whether that's improving what you already do, pulling up, working out new moves, adding to your game. Otto certainly needs to add to his game in particular, I think, sort of the ability to get his own offense. A couple times you'd see it, but typically he's, you know, relying on somebody else to set him up, and he's not, in part because of his physique, he can't bowl anybody over, and he's not the greatest of athletes relative to an NBA player. But the one thing I would say, having watched him now for, 6 years starting at Georgetown, you know, the progression that he's made over each year has been notable. You know, I always point out that his freshman year at Georgetown, he was not a very good three-point shooter at all. By his sophomore year, last year,
there, wasn't that he wasn't good, it looked ugly.
Yeah, it was not good. By the end of his next year, his last year, he led the Big East in three-point shooting. He got to the Wizards, struggled from deep. Now here we are 4 years later, top, you know, fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting. And his numbers have improved each year. He's continued to progress. And he's still relatively young. I guess for some reason we often put the young thing on Wall and Beal and then certainly Oubre. But Otto is only 23. So I don't see that he's got some massive upside. But I think there's reason to improve on. The reason I'm saying all that is I'm going to agree with you on Falk. The coaching staff is important. I'm just saying we've seen with Otto.
I think he'd improve a lot of places. That's just who he is. Yeah. Comes from his family, the no AAU thing or whatever, you know, all that
right.
stuff.
Like if we were talking Kelly Oubre, I would say he really needs to deal with the coaching staff because his game still needs to be refined big time. But Otto, based on what we've seen, you would think there'll be progression. He needs to work at it. It's not going to happen just by the way I like things to happen, just by me sitting on the couch. But it'll happen. But when you come back to David Falk, you made a point that I've been saying here. Look, I get it. Agents are going to go out and try to get the most money they can for their client. We all get that. And you know, there's fear out there. Some people have that a team like Brooklyn, who's got a ton of cap space and no hope, could look at a guy like Otto and say, you know what, maybe he's not technically worth max contract money, but we're in desperate straits. For us, it makes sense to just say we're going to put a lot of money towards some guys like that and go for it. And it would be interesting to see what the Wizards would do. We'll get back to that in a second. But if I'm David Falk and I know what I recognize what my client's all about, that is not the right move for Otto Porter. Because I know one of the things people here struggled with, those who especially didn't watch him at Georgetown, is that when he came into the league, he's got almost zero ego relative to an NBA player. He's not flashy at all. He's a glue guy. That's not a negative thing. He's a high-end glue guy. But he's not I'm going to come to your team and we're going to turn it around by my sheer presence. That's not what he's going to do. And if another team gives him that kind of money, $100-something million, their fan base is going to expect, well, we're getting this guy, right? He's going to turn this all around. And that's not what he is. And also, we'll get to some of Otto saying this here in just a second, but Otto, among the things he said on Exit Interview Day was just the importance of being around Georgetown while he's been here. In fact, let me get to that right now. Here's some more Otto Porter about what from Exit Interview Day about the importance of playing here and why it would appeal to him to stay in town.
Otto, you mentioned obviously playing at Georgetown. Being right here, how much is having that support base, being right next door, basically, help you as you kind of go through the NBA wars?
It's been great for me. You know, I have my coaches still here. Somewhere where I grew up, In college, you know, being here in D.C., you know, I love this, you know, the city, you know. Like I said, this is like my home, like my second home away from home.
You had a, looked like you had a different, I don't know if mindset's the right term, but offensively you came at some looking more aggressive in Game 7 after what happened in Game 6. How much did that going scoreless in Game 6 fuel you to get going in Game 7?
I'm just trying to be better, you know. Even though we got the win in Game 6, you know, I still feel like, you know, I could have left it out there a little bit more. So I definitely didn't want to disappoint in Game 7,
sure.
Even though it was disappointing.
Before the season started, if I tell you you finished fourth in the league of three-point shooting, you say what?
Put in a lot of work, you know. Good to see it finally come to light.
What do you think was the biggest factor for you to take it up to that next level this year?
Just shooting it, just coming with confidence, you know, knowing that you put a lot of work in, knowing that, you know, it's going to benefit you in the end.
You see different point guards around the league. John's one of the few true, like, pass-first point guards. How much do you think
definitely.
That factors into, like, whatever decisions you're going to make? Do you think, hey, I'd like to play with that guy?
He's definitely pass-first, you know, point guard. Very rare that you have that. And playing with him, you know, has been nothing but, you know, great for me. Just to be alongside him, you know, in my 4 years here.
Throughout the season.
All right, so that was some of more of the Otto Porter's thoughts on from Exit Interview Day. You know, like I said, at the end of the day with Otto, he's just not a guy who's gonna verbally express himself in a way that is going to necessarily
make
give
a headline.
Yeah, he's definitely not gonna do that. I mean, I see no reason to believe that he wouldn't want to play here next year, not just simply because of. Right, you know, he's been here. He's part of this team that's, you know, been improving. He's won 49 games. Excuse me. Came within a game of reaching Eastern Conference Finals. It's been his home for the last 6 years. John Wall passing to him, all those kind of things. But we'll see what happens with in the offseason. I've mentioned this many times before, but from a salary cap standpoint, the Wizards almost have to bring Otto back because if they let him, they can keep him based on owning his bird rights. But if they let him go, they don't actually have a lot of money to go out and spend to get somebody else. So it would be stunning if he's not back here next year, barring some random sign-and-trade kind of situation, or David Falk, expressing an opinion that says he doesn't want his client coming back. But all in all, I'm going to assume Otto Porter will be back here next year. Speaking of Otto Porter and sort of the Georgetown connection, let me ask you this question, Bobby. Where does Otto Porter rank among the current NBA Hoyas? This is a question where, like, a year or two ago, you would have thought, well, even now, no way is Otto the best guy, because you have, you know, one thing that's been interesting about the JT3 sending guys to the pros was sort of all or bust. The guys he sent were typically first-round picks who were doing pretty well, but sort of similar to JT3's own trajectory at Georgetown, things the last 2, 3, 4 years have sort of gone sideways to down. Because you look at guys like, who are the most prominent guys? Roy Hibbert. There was a point, you know, early in this decade where Roy Hibbert was the centerpiece, pun intended, I guess.
Well, he made 2 All-Star games.
He was like he was the key player to potentially Indiana dethroning Miami with his defensive presence. Then the game turned away from a big man like that. And also, I don't know, Roy seemed to lose his
mojo.
Yeah, something went crazy haywire there. Then you have
Jeff Green,
who's easily one of the most frustrating NBA players of the last decade. There are games where he gets 28 points, he's getting 12 in the fourth quarter, banging threes. You're like, wow, this guy could be, you know, second best player, third best player on like a big 3 title kind of team. And then the next game he comes out, goes like a passive 2 for 6, doesn't seem to be terribly involved, and that's kind of why you see him just kind of get moved throughout his career.
Also, I mean, he did miss that whole year with the heart surgery.
Sure.
But he does seem to have gotten back to the level that he was at where you don't know what to expect game to game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then lastly, well, maybe that's not awesome, but then you have Greg Monroe, who did have a little bit of a bounce back here with the Bucks, but at the same point, it does feel like it's been disappointing from when he came into the league. I had high hopes for him. Such a great passer.
I thought being such a great passing big man, I thought he'd actually get in the mix for the Olympic stuff. Because of the way they play against zones and all that stuff. And, I mean, I couldn't have been further off.
And he did get a big contract from Milwaukee, but at the same, he was a coveted free agent that year, but it hasn't ever felt like he's that, you know, franchise, you know, top three player. I mean, he was coming off the bench for the Bucks a lot. Defensively, he typically hasn't always been that great. So anyway. So
what about Hollywood?
Hollywood Hollis Thompson?
Just to name a guy.
No. He made it back. He got cut by. He was with the Sixers for a while. Got cut. Then made it back with the Pelicans. So we'll see where he goes. So I guess those are the other three contenders.
Otto's the guy.
Is that what we're saying at this point?
Absolutely.
Late May.
Going into the 2017-18 season.
Otto Porter is the best Georgetown player.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't even think it's a question. Unfortunately for Jeff Green and Roy Hibbert, it's just not there for them right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, Monroe is the one where I would. It's definitely not the other two. Monroe is the one where I would wonder. But, you know, and on some level, they both had similar years. Like, we don't think of Greg Monroe as a role player, but that's kind of ultimately what he was with the Bucks this year. But I guess, you know, I don't know. It just feels like it's hard to know where his career is headed either. Whereas Otto, it does feel at least it's, you know, going north.
It sort of feels like Monroe maybe needs to go somewhere else. I mean, he became a bench guy this year. He had been starting.
Yeah, he didn't start a single game this year for the Bucks. But, you know, at the same point, if you look at his per 36-minute stats, almost identical. The previous year, he averaged 18.8 points per 36. This year, 18.8 rebounds. He's averaged double per 36 minutes. He's over 10 rebounds for the last 6 years. Shoots a pretty high percentage from the field. But like I said, it feels like it's similar to how those guys are, too. And maybe on some level it's expectations in the sense that even though Otto was number three pick, I automatically, right or wrong, capped his ceiling that he could never necessarily be even an all-star necessarily. Whereas like with Greg Monroe, I really did have higher hopes.
Yeah, I did too.
And so maybe it's some of that. Maybe it's... In a different circumstance, Greg Monroe was much more of a leading man than Otto could be. But projection-wise, my thinking of him now, I guess I would agree that Otto is the better player right now, which is still good. I don't know. Even as I'm saying that, it still seems crazy.
It's him. It's Otto.
Would you, LJ Peaks coming into the league this year, would you like to project that he will...
I think it'd be great and phenomenal if he could stick on a team where they send him back and forth to the D-League. But I don't think he's going to be challenging Greg Monroe or Otto Porter as the best Hoya anytime soon. But he's physically gifted enough to do it. He's got to fix some things, not to turn this into the LJ Peak show. But I think he can definitely stick in the NBA. It's just he's not going to be challenging for the best Hoya anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at Greg Monroe. I mean, the one stat, not the block shots definitively means anything about your defense, but for his career per 36 minutes, he's averaging less than a block per game. And when you're that type of, like, that's the thing, like, you know, the way the NBA goes today.
I bet he's averaging way more assists than blocks.
Yes.
That's what I think of him. I don't think of him as a
player
destroyer, middle, you know, the defense guy.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have the Mutombo wag finger as part of his game. So, yeah, so I'd go Otto 1, Monroe 2, and then I guess Green
can still do stuff against the Wizards at least once this year.
That's what he does.
Like he just shows up and you're like, man, Jeff Green, I forgot he's in the league almost. Not that bad, but
no. When he went to Orlando, it seemed like a weird move in the first place. And by the way, I will say this about Jeff Green: I believe he signed a 1-year contract with Orlando, so he will be a free agent this year. And you know, I haven't gotten into my whole thinking about like which players the Wizards should target, so please don't take this as meaning anything other than just we're having a conversation about somebody that's connected to Georgetown. But, you know, if you think of guys who would benefit from playing with a John Wall type, I mean, I can't always say that. I mean, not like everyone of these guys can play 40 minutes with John Wall, but who would benefit? Boy, Jeff Green really does seem like that kind of guy. You're telling me he's just going to get set up all the time by John Wall? Like, he comes in behind Markieff Morris and just, you know... So, I don't know. Could be interesting. No way he's getting $15 million again this year.
He's not going to get $15. Although, people get more than you think. Players get more than you think these days just because the salary cap's bigger. And...
Boy, he only shot 27% from three this last year. Ooh. Yikes. 39% overall. All right. So, interesting. It's one of the things. Going into this season, I don't think I would have said Otto was the best, and that I think we're saying he is here. All right. Let's get to the when of it all. As in, when does Otto Porter get some social media help? I think the our friend Jake Whitaker, Bolt Forever, had a very good expose on Otto Porter's. What was it, Instagram or?
He was on his Instagram. He was using watermarked like Getty images of himself.
Right. Like I have some access based on what I do to USA Today's actual photo. So if I put up a photo with, for the podcast or some article, whatever, it's a real thing.
I think someone was suggesting he just get a Getty account. That's what he wants to do.
That or just go to the internet. Like I mean. Just, you know, obviously we all, you know, if we all take pictures, you don't want to just take it.
Have Evan Schvodkin just take pictures of them.
Yeah, personal photographer, Evan Schvodkin. But, I mean, the Wizards themselves have their own pictures. They all take pictures. It's hilarious. I don't even know where he's finding them. Like, in other words, like, if I go onto the internet to say, I'm going to go for an Otto Porter picture right now,
don't know if you could find the watermark picture?
Right. I don't think I could find the watermark picture.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could either.
Now, then there's the Twitter aspect. It's always funny when the Wizards put out their starting lineup on Twitter, and they put it based on the player's Twitter
account.
And then
they just say Otto.
And it just says Otto Porter, because he doesn't actually have one. You, being a world-renowned user of Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, if you were Otto Porter, do you think
he's got Snapchat.
He has Snapchat.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying...
So maybe he's picked a favorite.
And it does sort of coincide with what we're saying again. Not a, you know, smart guy, but he's not a picture says 1,000 words as opposed to actually having to type 140 characters or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little surprising he doesn't have Twitter. Doesn't mean he has to use it 30 times a day like me, but you would think that the Wizards might even want to just be like, hey, you know, we're gonna monitor, you know, just for the, like you said, the starting lineup thing. Like they want to include that as part of like their social media strategy, right? You would think. Is he the only Wizard with that one?
Only NBA player with that one?
No, only Wizard.
No, I'm saying, like, I can't even comprehend there's 10 NBA players who don't have one. I mean, every AAU, I mean, you and I know, like, we look at kids from recruiting. Every kid coming up has one. They all have more followers than we do.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, the highlight of life is to say I've narrowed my list to 13 schools and then put up, like, a big collage of all the schools you're considering.
Yeah.
That's not something he did, you know? So
no.
This just sort of goes along with he showed up like this. He's still like this. He's a basketball player. He gets better every year. This is Otto. He's not all of a sudden going to start tweeting. And he's not all of a sudden going to gain 50 pounds and play in the post.
Yeah, crazy. And sort of on that note, I would say if you didn't already, in a podcast I did a couple of weeks ago during the playoffs with Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post, who did an article about Otto and how he learned his game from not just his dad, but his mom. It was a good podcast, basically all about Otto, and I think maybe the second half of that was about Georgetown, and Bobby made an appearance on that one. So
nice.
I don't know. It's up to you if you want to dive back into double Bancroft, but...
It's probably got a lot of hits.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it did very well. So, if Otto doesn't want to get on Twitter, that's fine. But at the same point, yeah, you know, work on that social media situation.
Get away from the watermark.
I mean, David Falk's got to have somebody in that office who can help with that and nothing else. All right.
People are getting interns that I know. So, I mean, there's interns out there available for anybody.
Yeah, you can. If Otto said, hey, Bobby, I'd like you to be my social media intern.
I can help him.
All right. Otto, there you go. I would tell you to hit Bobby up on Twitter, add Bobby Bancroft, but you're not really on Twitter, so I don't have to tell you. But, you know, I'm sure you can find him. Ask Max Carey. He'll know where to find him. All right, last but not least, let's get to the why of it all, as in, why do you think he is or isn't a max contract player?
I think we've already sort of touched on this. I think that he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a really good third best or maybe even eventually a second best player. But in my mind, maybe there's more max spots than there used to be. I just think the idea of if he goes to Brooklyn or Orlando or someone like that and he's the max guy, I just can't see it working out for a lot of reasons. It's not like he'll be bad there, but I don't think he's going to make a team better like John Wall would or countless other players, you know, Harden, Kawhi Leonard. All these guys I think are max players. I don't think Otto's at that level. And I think he plays great here because of all the things surrounding him, who I talked about earlier. I think this is a great spot for him, and hopefully he doesn't need the max to stay here.
Do we do a disservice in this conversation when we just phrase somebody as a max contract player because of the fact that that is the technical sort of, I don't know if it's a technical term, but that's sort of the term in terms of giving the guy as much as possible. But it's doing it in a way without the, without saying, well, but sort of like how, you know, when Kwame Brown was the number one pick in the draft, somebody had to be the number one pick. It wasn't a great year for the draft. It was a lot of uncertainty, but somebody had to go one. He went one. Therefore, he gets all the pressure of being the number one pick, as did Hakeem Olajuwon and LeBron James and whatever. Do we say, so in other words, we're saying max contract, but don't we need to sort of be like, but just like with this Kwame Brown scenario, it's just the way the world is right now. The market.
So you're saying like someone in Brooklyn has to make that much money, why not Otto?
Basically, yeah, the salary cap thing got thrown upside down in the NBA the last year and this year, presumably. By the way, this is not expected to be considered to be a very good free agent class, assuming the Durants of the world don't change places and, you know, Chris Paul and whatever. So this is not a great class. So if you're going to spend money, you got to look at whoever you can. You're talking about a 23-year-old who finished fourth 3-point shooting, has improved every year. He's a guy that, especially for a team like Brooklyn that doesn't really have stars, maybe you want that sort of guy who's got a lot of those intangibles. But even if he stays here, I'm just saying, that's just the way the NBA is right now. Garrett Temple makes more money than Markieff Morris. He's not as good as Markieff Morris, but that's just how the NBA works. And I think, you know, so in other words, the max contract thing, it's a thing, but maybe we shouldn't keep saying it. We should come up with somebody else to say Otto's going to get this money, but don't view him in the terms of, oh my lord, he's a max contract player.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hope all these guys get their market value of everything they should get and all that stuff. But I think it's also a long-term thing where do you think you're best served playing in a spot that makes you better or going somewhere else where you might not be playing as well because you don't have X, Y, and Z around you. And I think without having X, Y, and Z around him like he does here, I don't think he would look as good. I mean, look, just, you know, I mean, not to compare, but when Bogdanovich showed up, he was hitting 8 threes a couple games in a row. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, look at what happens if you play with this group where you've got Beal and you've got Wall. And like, someone's going to be open a lot for these threes and stuff like that, not to diminish it. But I think that you sort of like rise with who you're with. And that's why I feel like if he goes somewhere else and he's counted on to be that guy and rise, make other guys rise with him, I'm not sure in the NBA it's going to work. He worked in college. We saw him make everyone better in college. So maybe I'm selling him short in that respect, but I think that's a lot of pressure on him. I think he's better served in the NBA being the second or third guy.
If the Wizards have a big three, who's the third guy? Otto Porter or Markieff Morris?
It's Otto.
You think so?
Yeah. Do you disagree? We should disagree on something.
Well, I do disagree. I did a podcast the other day. I said Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
Because, like, for multiple reasons. One, he brings them that attitude,
that
they don't have otherwise. I mean, they have it in some spots, but he, especially in the front court, they don't totally have it. And then two, just he became so, like, when he left that Boston game and in the middle of it, I knew they were going to lose because they didn't have anybody who could come in and sort of do what he could do. Whereas with Otto, and it's so this partly has to do with the Wizards roster, but the stuff that Otto does, while important, you could figure out sort of ways to cobble that together. But with Morris, it just felt like that you couldn't.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's more of a straight replacement for Otto in terms of Oubre. You would figure can get better and be more like Otto, and who else on the team could be like Morris. I get that.
Yeah, and like I said, that's maybe more about the Wizards roster than it is them individually. And of course, you know, Otto is far more consistent than Markieff. So, but anyway, either way, the Wizards don't have a big three in the relative sense of LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. I just was curious what you thought.
Well, that's a whole other story about what's wrong with the NBA right now.
It is a problem.
It's a problem when you know last year at this time who was going to be in the finals.
Yeah, no, it's a big problem, especially we're getting up coming up to this and like Kevin
Speaking
Durant.
Of all this Otto stuff, when is Otto's big date? When would we know something? When does something have to happen?
I mean, July 1st is when the you know new season kicks in, so nothing really till then.
Okay.
Hey, Ben here. Bobby and I were at Nats Park today, or on Sunday, I should say, covering that game, and we had an opportunity to do the podcast that we did. As we were finishing the end of it, though, the in-house PA system with the sort of the Nats pregame broadcast came on and sort of drowned us out. So We basically cut it off right after that point that you just heard, but I wanted to sort of give a proper ending. So anyway, many thanks to Bobby Bancroft, as always, for his time. We always have a lot of fun talking about Otto Porter, Georgetown, and, of course, the Wizards. Back more this week, I sort of hinted a little bit about some things coming up. This week there'll be some NBA previews, some more Wizards player reviews, some interesting voices, some new voices also coming on the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm excited to get to all that. Let's just go there. Ben Standing signing off. Until next time, see ya.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Fry caught. Bold drive, off-balance shot. Dagger!